I'm pulling in my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. Okay, so I'm back doing some podcasts about the guilds now that Ravnica Allegiance has come out. And so last time I talked about Azorius. So now I'm talking about Rakdos, black and red. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what black and red represent, how we ended up making Rakdos, and then I'll walk through what we did for each of the three visits to Ravnica. Okay, so let's start with black and red. So black is all about wanting power. That black is willing to do whatever it needs to do to be able to have the power that it craves. And one of where black sort of steps out from everybody else is black really believes that the key to sort of succeeding in life is being willing to do what others are unwilling to do. You know, that there's a lot of limitations that people put on themselves that are self-limitations. And black is like, look, if you want to get things done, you just have to be willing to do what it takes to get them done. You know, black is very big on the idea that, you know, somebody needs to look out for you, and why not have that be you? Who is more invested in your own well-being than you? And so black is just, you know, the white-black conflict very much is about the good of the group versus the good of the individual. Black's the good of the individual. Black is like, black believes in systems where merit, you know, if I try really hard and I succeed, you know, I can succeed because I put in the time and the energy and the effort. Black is big on merit. You know, black is big on sort of, rewarding those that are willing to do what it takes to get the job done. Red is all about following one's heart. Red's about, you know, red really believes that, like, the key to being happiness is sort of listening internally and following what your emotions say and what your body says. And, like, red feels like, look, you want to live a life fulfilled, and living a life fulfilled is not having regrets. It's not, you know, it's seizing the moment and listening to what your emotions say. So red is very in the moment and very wants to sort of live life, wants a sense of living life fully. Okay. So what happens when you take sort of the willing to do whatever it takes mentality of black along with the live in the moment, red, you get Rakdos. So Rakdos is very much about the idea of, so when black and red get together, you start to get hedonism. And what hedonism means is, I'm going to do what I want to do for the betterment of me. I want, you know, and that black and red come at hedonism in a slightly different aspect. Black is a little more about the selfish part of it, and red's a little bit more about, you know, living in the moment part of it. But you get them together, and black-red's very hedonistic. It's very like, I'm going to do what I want to do now. I'm going to live in the moment. I'm going to, you know. And we knew that when we wanted to get black and red together, we wanted to capture the sense of for example, to me, the perfect example of a character that is the marrying of black and red is the Joker from Batman's Nemesis, because the Joker very much wants to sort of make things happen and do what he wants to do, but there's a chaotic element to him. And Red's chaotic element also gets played up quite a bit when Black and Red get together. Because you see a little bit of Black's sort of, what Red does is makes Black play into the things that Black enjoys a little more. That Black naturally has a state of being a bit disruptive and doing things that are on the more violent side. And Black by itself has a little bit more restraint. You sometimes see the side that leans toward blue that shows some sense of restraint. But when Black gets together with Red, there's no restraint. So the idea that we really liked for Rakdos was it was the guild that's about doing what you want to do in the moment and doing whatever it takes to get rid of things in your way. So one of the things mechanically, like one of the things we always have to keep in mind is not just sort of philosophically where do they overlap, but where do the mechanics overlap? So when black and red get together, black and red are the two colors with the most removal. or the most efficient removal. Actually, the highest amount of removal and the most efficient removal. Black is number one in creature killing. Red's number one in direct damage. You know, a lot of black and red is sort of like, I'm going to play my creatures, and then I'm just going to blow up everything in their way, you know. If you look at something like red-white, Boros, that's a little more like, I'm just going to have so many creatures spilling out so fast that you're going to have trouble dealing with them. Where something like Gruul is a little more like, I'm going to ramp up and make bigger and bigger creatures, you're going to have trouble dealing with them. Black-red is more like, well, I'm not going to have as many threats as Boros, or as big a threat as Gruul, but I'm going to have more answers, meaning I'm going to make it harder for you to deal with the creatures I do have. Now, one of the tricky things about Rakdos is some of the guilds have a very clean, definitive part of the game state. For example, the Golgari revolves around the graveyard, so there's an area of play. Boros revolves around the attacking, you know, the combat. Simic very much plays around with plus one counters. There's different guilds that have different areas and spaces that they've carved out where there's a real mechanical space it's latched onto. The problem with Rakdos is Rakdos doesn't have a clean and clear part of the game that it's playing around with, you know. It's more an attitude, and that's why Rakdos has been a little bit tricky in that part of what we want with Rakdos is there's a feeling when you play that we like. That there is a recklessness and a willing to do what it takes sort of quality to Rakdos. One of the things we always joked is that Rakdos throws the best parties. Like, if you want to get invited to a pretty exciting party, you want to go to the Rakdos parties. Now, not everyone survives every Rakdos party. You can get injured there, but it's fun. You know, they pull out of the stops. And the thing that with Rakdos we really played up is the idea that they are willing to, you know, take big risks. So that's another thing that we played around with Rakdos is the idea that of all the guilds, they're the most risk, willing to take the risks. Because black is the color that is willing to sort of do what it takes to get the job done. And red's the color willing to sort of play a little bit into chaos. And so you get them together, and you really have this guild that, like, okay, I'm willing to, I understand that by taking risks, there's a huge gain to be had. And we wanted to capture that as well. So it's tricky. There's no particular games, there's no, like, part of the game that Black-Red is making theirs. It's more of an attitude. So Dissension was the first set that had the Rakdos in it. So I talked about last time in my Azorius podcast that Rakdos and Azorius have actually always been together. They were together in Dissension. They were together in Return to Ravnica, and they're together in Ravnica Allegiances. And they're the three colors. The two guilds that have shown up in the first, second, and third guild set were the of sets that didn't have all the colors. Obviously, Dragons made it all the colors. What happened was we actually figured out both Azorius and Simic, which were the other two colors in Dissension, first. Rakdos was actually the last guild because it was the last guild in the last set for us to figure out. And the stumbling block we really had for a while was how do you, in gameplay, capture the flavor I've been talking about? We liked the flavor. We liked the idea that, you know, they're kind of the wild bunch that are just sort of, that have this kind of chaotic energy to them. But how do you get that in gameplay? How do you make that something that... And the other question, and this is something we always ask, is the player that enjoys red and black, what exactly do they want to do in play? You know? And eventually what we came to is, what if we could inspire in gameplay that same attitude of kind of live in the moment, do what needs to take risks and go big, you know, so what we decided was, what if we made black and red, we encouraged them to play in a game style that made them sort of use their resources, that they didn't wait to do things, they sort of acted in the moment, and so we came up with Hellbent. So Hellbent was an ability word that said, as long as you have no cards in hand, .. Something is true. And so Hellbent could go on spells, it could go on creatures. basically it said, okay, look, if you if you've been playing all your cards when you can play them, we'll reward you. And the idea was, okay, well, if we sort of say to the Bractos player, look, just play all your cards. Don't wait. Don't hold back. Just play all your cards. You know, that got some of the sense of what we wanted. That we wanted that Rakdos was the color combination that wasn't holding back. And so we liked that Hellbent was this interesting way to sort of encourage Black-Red to do something a little bit different. So we made it now. The one interesting thing about Rakdos in Dissension was there was no overlap within that expansion. That the two other guilds were Azorius, white-blue, and Simic, blue-green. In fact, the only overlap in the small set in Dissension was in blue, obviously, between Azorius and Simic. But you did not play the set by itself. Current guild sets, you play by themselves. This you drafted with original Ravnica and Guild Pact. So that meant that Rakdos' overlap was with three other guilds, which is every guild that plays red. So with Boros, with Izzet, and with Gruul. So one of the things that we sort of played into was the idea that, you know, no matter what spells you have, you know, you can play them. I mean, Rakdos kind of encouraged you not to play too many big things just because you wanted to get to the Hellbent state as quick as you could. And all the other colors did have cheap spells, and, you know, there's a certain amount of aggression to red-black. Plus, red-black, like I said, has the best removal. So it plays pretty well with, you know, both Boros and Gruul are also on the more aggressive side. Red in general tends to be more aggressive. So with the exception of Izzet, and even Izzet is tempo-based, all the red, there's no red deck that says, just sit back and wait. All of them are pretty aggressive. Like I said, even Izzet has a tempo strategy where it's trying to keep you off kilter, and part of tempo means you're constantly playing things. So, you know, Rakdos did blend in with the other red guilds when you were drafting them all together. But it's not like sort of modern sets where they were drafted specifically with the other ones. Once we come back to Ravnica, that starts happening, but in this first set, they did not. So when the dust settled, Hellbent was, my memory was, it didn't do great in the our poll, but didn't do badly. Kind of the middle. I think there were a lot of Black Red players that did enjoy the idea of having the license to play a little bit recklessly. Normally, sort of, you're taught strategically in Magic that you don't want to empty your hand. And it's kind of neat sometimes to take something that people kind of want to do, and then mechanically encourage them, so it's the right thing to do. That's one of the cool things I think about Magic, is when you say, hey, I know you like doing this, now I'm going to give a reason to do it. I talk a lot about back when we made Onslaught, the way I sold Bill on doing Tribal was, look, players want to do this anyway, they're doing it and it's not good, let's make them want to do it, let's encourage them to do it. And the idea of being reckless and playing all the cards in your hand, it's kind of fun. You know, it's kind of fun to not have to hold back. When the dust settled, I think that R&D's take on it is that if we had to do it all over again, we would have made what R&D now calls Heckbent as opposed to Hellbent, which is all but one card. Black and red do have a lot of, you know, destructive cards and things that are actually, it's interesting to be able to hold some of it back. So I think in retrospect, you know, when we revisit these themes, we now do Heckbent in that it plays better to say, well, get rid of most of your cards, but let them keep one. That's kind of looking back at Hellbent saying, oh, yeah, if we had to do it again, I think we would do Heckbent. I mean, we'd probably call it Hellbent, but we would do what we now call Heckbent. But anyway, so Rakdos show up. One of the interesting things about the Rakdos, the first time we saw them was, there was a lot of discussion from the creative team of how to show them up and sort of play into what they were. There's always been this little bit of sense of, not just that they're sort of always partying, but a little bit of a showmanship to them. You'll see it come out later, but you even can see in the early one, there's a little bit of the idea of that they're performers and that they like they like kind of impressing other people and doing things to make people go, wow, what, that's crazy. What are you doing? And so that flavor was there. It was a little bit lower down. You'll see it comes up more as Retros goes along. Okay, which brings us to Return to Ravnica. Okay, so we had done Hellbent. And like I said, it wasn't... We liked the general sense of the tone we were going for. But we felt the gameplay wasn't quite where we wanted it. Yeah, we knew there was some room for improvement. So, we spent some time trying to figure out how do we... We liked the idea that you took risks, but this time we said, okay, well, what if we make a mechanic that there's a risk built into the mechanic, but you opt into making choices. And that way... you have the option of being risky, but you have the option of not being risky. And we thought it was kind of cool where we thought the idea that giving you a chance where you opt into being risky felt Rakdos. So like what we tried with Hellbent was sort of like we kind of forced you to be risky. And we're like, okay, well, let's try it again this time where you can be risky, but you opt into being risky. And that way it's sort of like you're choosing to be risky. That felt Rakdos to us. So the mechanic we came up with was Unleash. So Unleash is you may have this creature enter the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it. It can't block as long as it has a +1/+1 counter on it. So the idea here was creature with Unleash could be bigger, but if you made them bigger, you were committing to aggression. Because if they had a +1/+1 counter on them, they couldn't block. And this was... I mean, it was a different take, like I said. One of the things about some of the guilds is some of them are so tied to mechanical component that it's much easier to structure. Because Rakdos is based on a feel, you know, it's more of we want to sort of capture this. And Unleash was a definitely interesting experiment where we sort of said, okay, look, you can opt in. You like, the mechanic was kind of like, there's an upside that comes with a downside. You choose whether you want both the upside and the downside. The other thing it did is we liked the idea that Rakdos is more offensive than defensive, but this allowed you to be defensive if you wanted. Hellbent at times really, it was so forcing you to empty your hand that it made it harder for you to play defensive, one of the reasons we kind of like the idea of Heckbent. But this time it's like, okay, if you're behind, if you need your creatures to block, you can. We're not forcing you to do this. But it does say, hey, if you have any opportunity to be aggressive, this mechanic sort of pushes you toward aggression. So it lets you be defensive if you needed to be, but it definitely encouraged aggression, and we liked that. We thought that was kind of fun. So Unleash did not do... my memory from it is it did worse than Hellbent did. And the reason was that opting in... to a negative ability, even if it comes with a positive ability, because usually if you're opting in, there's some reason to do it. Sort of adding, giving drawbacks to yourself, not super popular. We've learned this over the years that players in general like more upside and less downside. I don't know. I mean, there's a couple interesting questions here. One is. I think if you look, for example, at Riot, which is the gruel mechanic for... I'll talk about that when I get to gruel. But the interesting thing about it is you can see us using Unleashed technology, but in a slightly different way, which is rather than upside and downside or nothing, it's upside, upside. Which upside do you want? Now, the downside of one choice is you don't get the upside of the other, but it just psychologically is like, oh, you get an upside, you choose which one. It's just a little happier for people than you can choose if you want an upside, but if you choose an upside, you must take a downside, is not quite as compelling. Okay, so Rakdos in Return to Ravnica had Izzet on one side, So that was the red overlap, and had Golgari on the other side. That was a black overlap. So one of the things we had to do is Izzet had overload. So overload was a mechanic where you could hit one target, or you could pay an additional cost and hit all legal targets. And the stuff we put in red, we just made sure that it had a more aggressive quality to it. It definitely had a bunch of, like, do damage to one thing or everything, or you know, like one of my opponent's creatures or all of my opponent's creatures. You know, it definitely had a little bit of, we made sure that the red overload cards were the kind of things that Rakdos might want to play. And then Scavenge was about taking creatures out of the graveyard and putting +1/+1 counters on them. There's a little bit of anti-synergy going on in that +1/+1 counters on leech creatures kept you from blocking with them. So if you had put out a creature and didn't put a counter on it because you wanted to block with it, it then meant you couldn't scavenge onto that creature. Now, if you're going to put a +1 counter on the creature anyway, well, it doesn't matter, scavenge, put more on. But the mechanic did play well in the more aggressive. Like, one of the things about Rakdos is Rakdos tends to be aggressive. Rakdos creatures die. So the idea that it's black creatures, if you had scavenge, just meant the creatures that die then come back to beef up the creatures that are there. So there was some synergy between that. So Golgari and Rakdos actually did play well in Return to Ravnica. Okay, so we made Unleash. Didn't do particularly great, pull-wise. But, I mean, I do like Unleash. I do like the... I did enjoy the sort of do-you-want-to-be-risky sort of feel. But anyway, the lesson there is there a way to get risk that isn't inherently... that there's occasionally upside to the risk? And I don't know. That's a tricky one in general. Something Rakdos is always struggling with is we want a little bit of risk-taking, but risk-taking usually means there's some potential downside, because that's why it's risk-taking. And trying to find that balance has always been tricky. Okay, so now we get to Ravnica Allegiances. Okay, so, and like I said, the interesting thing about, like, some guilds, like, one of the things we did, the very first thing we did in the very first meeting is, and remember, both Guilds of Ravnica and Ravnica Allegiance had vision design together. It was one single team for both sets. The first thing we did was we said, okay, let's go look at everything they've already done. What are the mechanics that they've done? I had an article, I showed a whiteboard, and this was the whiteboard that I showed, and it was us saying, okay, let's show all the mechanics they've done. And so what we did is we graded them on how likely they were to return. And I think the idea was it was 1, 2, and 3. And I think 1 was it's not returning. 2 was maybe could return. And 3 was we like it. We think it's a really good mechanic. Like, 2 meant that it filled its purpose as a guild mechanic, but it didn't have a lot of use beyond just being a guild mechanic. Where 3 was like, oh, this is the kind of mechanic that, like, we might bring back as a non-guild mechanic. This is just a sweet mechanic. For example, both Bloodthirst and Convoke got brought back into the core set, right? So those are things that had been an original Ravnica block and were good enough for, like, you know what? It doesn't even need to be guild affiliated. These are just cool, solid mechanics. Where other mechanics might be like, oh, this is a neat mechanic. It's really tied to the guild and it's not something we might do lots of, but it's a good, solid mechanic. So what we realized was when we looked back at Rakdos, neither, like, some other guilds is like, oh, they're mechanics we could bring back. We liked them. Rakdos is kind of like, oh, we wouldn't do Hellbent again. If we did Hellbent, we would do Heckbent. And Unleash got low enough scores in the markets, you know, our market research, that probably we wouldn't bring back Unleash. So we're like, okay, we need to do a new mechanic. We need to get the tone and sense right. So the idea that we came up with in vision design, I mean, we went through a lot of different things in vision design. We talked about, you know, are there existing mechanics we want to bring back? And in the end, the mechanic that we handed over to set design was called Finale. So here's how Finale works. You paid some cost, And it said cardinum gets plus N plus O. N just means some amount, some number. Different cards would have different numbers. And when we're doing something, N just tells us there's a number there. It will change. And it can grant an ability. So cardinum gets plus N plus O and sometimes gets an ability until end of turn. Sacrifice it at the beginning of the next N step. Activate this ability only once. The idea of finale was kind of inspired by a card called Berserk in Alpha. So for those who don't know Berserk, Berserk costs a single green mana, target creature, its power is doubled for the turn, and then you have to sacrifice it at the end of turn. The idea being that, like, oh, my creature goes all out in the end, but it cost me my creature. And the thing we were playing around with on finale is imagine having creatures that could sort of become something really awesome, but just for a turn, and that the cost of becoming really awesome means they go away. And our thought at the time, because one of the things to keep in mind is, I just got through saying that one of the marks against Unleashed was that you had the upside came with a downside. Well, losing your creature is a big downside. But the idea we liked was that there are a lot of times in Magic where I'm going to lose the creature anyway. I'm getting in a combat, or I can't attack. You know, my creature right now is not big enough to attack, so it's kind of sitting here doing nothing. That there's enough times in Magic where your creature, for all purposes, even though it's alive, really is not being very useful to you. And so the idea of losing it but getting some utility out, like, let's say you have a small creature that just can't attack. Yeah, I guess I could chump block something maybe with it, but I mean, there's not a lot of utility out of it. But if I can make it into a big threat and get through, okay, now it's doing something, and that maybe, you know, maybe it's okay that I lose that, you know, that 1-1, you know, I'm giving up a random chump block for being able to get through and doing something really cool. Or maybe I'm giving it up because I would grow my creature and then win a combat and kill a creature. And so, look, my creature was going to die in combat anyway. You know, if I have a 1-1 and you're attacking with a 3-3, if I give my creature plus 2 plus 0, hey, I'm going to kill your creature. I was going to die anyway. So we thought there was a lot of times in which, yeah, the creature's going to die, but there's plenty of times where the trade-off wasn't that big a deal. Either the creature was already going to die, or your creature didn't have enough utility anyway. Getting some utility with it might be worth losing the creature. And the idea we liked was it really had this big sense of go big or go home that we like about the Rakdos. It has sort of this... it had a little bit of a, you know, doing risky thing feel, and it had, you know... Anyway, we thought it was kind of a cool take on Rakdos. So we handed that over to set design. Now, set design, there's some things they liked about finale, and I think they saw where it kind of shined and did cool things. But the one thing they were thinking is we had handed over Mechanical for Gruul, and the way the mechanic in Gruul worked was at end of turn, it was end of turn, it triggered at end of turn if you dealt combat damage to the opponent this turn. Or maybe if they actually take it back. I think if they had been damaged this turn, because it lets you use direct damage on your opponent. And then it triggered. And a few of the cards, if you did that, the reward was in your second main phase, you could cast things cheaper. And they really liked that. They liked the idea that, hey, how do I encourage you to sort of be more aggressive? Well, what if I make it easier for you to play other threats if you are? And so they took that, they took the Gruul mechanic and sort of made a condensed version of it, which they ended up calling Spectacle. So Spectacle is you pay a cost. It says you may cast a spell for a Spectacle cost rather than its mana cost if any opponent lost life this turn. Note that when creatures do damage to the opponent, they do lose life. That a result of being damaged by a creature is life loss. So this did care about combat damage, so it wasn't ignoring combat damage. So anyway, the idea is if the opponent loses life for any reason, whether you damage them with creatures, you hit them with direct damage, they pay life for an effect, any reason they lose life, you now can cast the thing cheaper. And the idea was, I don't think there was another... there was no other damage reduction spells. And it felt like one of the things we really like to do is help you get your spell, cast your spells in Rakdos. And it felt kind of neat. Like, one of the things we always do is, one of our sort of rules is, if we take all the cards that have the guild symbol on it, so like all the Rakdos cards with the Rakdos symbol, meaning the Rakdosian of Rakdos cards, because they have the symbol on, meaning they're using the mechanic, or they're multicolored, or you optimize the two colors. If you put them all in a deck, then the deck would feel cohesive. And what that meant is, look, if you were playing with Hellbent cards and with Unleashed cards, would this new mechanic feel right? Not that this new mechanic needs to be what those mechanics were, but it has to sort of play in the style of deck those were. And so one of the things that we liked was Spectral just helped let you cast your stuff. You know, Hellbent lets you to cast your stuff. And so it just played nicely with what we were doing. It captured the general sense of Rakdos. It captured the feel of Rakdos. And it just sort of, while it wasn't doing mechanically exactly what the previous Rakdos mechanics were doing, it was fitting the feel and hitting a larger strategy that, you know, that you could play them together and it would work. Okay, speaking of playing together. So, in Ravnica Allegiances, the Red Guild is Gruul, and that's the red overlap. And the black overlap is Orzhov. So Gruul has a mechanic called Riot. Riot allows you to either make your creature bigger or make your creature have haste. You choose which one you want. That overlaps nicely with what's going on in Rakdos. Rakdos wants the ability to upgrade for threats, and having a choice between haste or being bigger is interesting. It's the kind of decision that Rakdos likes. And both Rakdos and Gruul tend to have more aggro-type strategies. Like I said, the biggest difference between the two is having access to green means that Gruul has a little bit of access to mana, or more access to mana ramp, and more access to larger efficiently costed creatures. When you go to Rakdos, what black adds to the mix is you have more control-oriented stuff, more removal, and your creatures just come with some different abilities, like flight and stuff that red and green don't have, or not much of. So we like the idea that, Gruul and Rakdos overlap. Then we get to Orzhov. So Orzhov has a mechanic called Afterlife. It is creatures that when they die, they come back with some number of spirit tokens. For example, if you had Afterlife 1, that means when you die, you come back with a flyer. So one of the things that Rakdos likes about that is Rakdos already is being pretty aggressive with its creatures. It trades very, it is very willing to trade its creatures. So things dying happens in Rakdos. So if you're black creatures, then trade into another resource, that's just another resource that Rakdos can take advantage of. Orzhov tends to play a little bit slower, sort of what we call bleeder deck, where it's slowly nibbling you away. And the 1-1 creatures are good in that deck for doing the slow nibbling. In a deck like Rakdos, where you're being a little bit more aggressive, it's just more attack for you. It's evasive attack that allows you to help get in. One of the things about Rakdos is Rakdos can do a lot of damage pretty quickly, and then it wants to have some spells and stuff to finish them off. And so having flyer, having evasion also can fill that role. Black red in tradition has a little bit less evasion. Black has some flying, red and black have some menace, but it doesn't quite have as much evasion as like blue, for example. So the Orzhov mechanic works nicely so that it comes together. The other thing to talk about that went on in talk a little bit about flavor. So the Rakdos is run by the demon Rakdos. That's where Rakdos got his name. Rakdos is named the guild after him. It's the cult of Rakdos. And Rakdos, the original 10, what to call them, the characters that made the guild pack, one for each guild. A few of them are still around. Rakdos is the only one that has led the Rakdos all three times we've met him. We have met Izzet, Niv-Mizzet, who for two of the three times led the Izzet. he is off doing other things right now. Sort of, he's aware that Bolas is coming, or Bolas is here. And so Ral is currently running, is it? But he's still around. A lot of the other parents have died along the way. Some, like Azor, off trapped on Ixalan. Anyway, so Rakdos, one of the things that Rakdos does is he likes to make, he wants people in his guild because it's exciting to be in his guild. And so, as I said earlier, they throw the best parties. So one of the things we've always been trying to capture is a sense of, Rakdos has a showier sense to them, and we want to play that up. So the idea of performers or a circus does show up in both versions, earlier versions of Rakdos. The idea of a little sense of that performer sense, or the dark circus sort of feel, that is there. I think what happened this time was when they brought in the people to do the world building, they sort of mentioned in passing this idea of the dark circus. And I think that they really took it to heart and just pushed it a little more. Like, one of the big challenges of doing a guild set is you want to both capture what the guild was and make sure that you're delivering what the guild was, so that you're making something that feels right. But at the same time, you want to have something a little bit new. You want to make sure that, you know, I want these new cards in my guild deck because it's giving me some utility that, while in flavor and matching what I've done before, is something a little bit new. And we want that not just in mechanics, but we also want it in flavor, and that we want to build on the flavor. So the idea of playing up the circus theme a little bit, like I said, it was there, but really they went to town with it this time, and so you're seeing a bit more of it. The other thing that was going on is, I think, the creative team is spending a lot of time sort of reevaluating humor, and one of the conclusions they came to not that long ago is trying to find more opportunities for humor in sets. And the Rakdos, for example, has a very masochistic sense of humor, but a funny sense of humor, and they kind of, one of the things that's fun about the Rakdos is that they embrace who they are, and they embrace the way they live. It is not as if they don't understand that what they're doing is dangerous and risky. You know, they fully embrace that. And that part of the humor of them is, it's a very dark, twisted humor. It has become popular with the player base, with our player base. Some of them very much approve of dark, twisted humor. So that was a neat thing to see, is sort of, I like the idea that Rakdos has definitely added in some new components. I think Spectacle, while flavorful to what the guild does, is new and different, and, you know, it's making you care about something a little bit different. I mean, Rakdos always wanted you to be aggressive, but this particular says, you know what, hey, if you can get in some damage, we can do things. And so, one of the things that I really like about what Spectacle does is something that Raid also did, which is when you're encouraged to attack, your opponent has less sense when you're bluffing. Because if you don't have an external reason to attack other than just doing damage, you know, if I attack with a 1/1 creature and you have a 2/2, well, I have to be... I'm implying that I have some way, you know, to deal with it. Like, I have a giant growth or something. Not in black red. I have direct damage power. I have some means by which, if you block my creature, it won't be good for you. But in a world in which there's an external reason to do it, it makes it a little bit more fun. I'm attacking. Do I have something? Or maybe I'm just trying to, you know, I want to play a Spectacle card. And you're like, oh, well, it just makes bluffing easier to do, is what I'm trying to say. And one of the things I enjoy with a gameplay style of something like Rakdos is you want to let people bluff more. You want to let people attack a little more recklessly, but in a way where the opponent has to make some conscious decisions about what's going on. That leads to fun gameplay. And I really like the thing with Spectacle that is fun, Raid is something, like I said, very similar, is it makes an interesting gameplay during combat of you trying to figure out what you think they're up to. And then, for the Rakdos player, there's a lot of joy in knowing what you know, but knowing the opponent doesn't know, and that there's a little bit of what I'll call, you know, delicious pain in having fun of, you know, your opponent's ignorance is somewhat hard for them, and you enjoying that. So there's a little bit of a masochistic streak, I think, in Spectacle that makes playing it sort of from a mindset have a little bit of a Rakdos feel. And that, once again, one of the things, like I said, that is very unique about Rakdos for some other guilds is that all the guilds have an emotion. Like, I'm big on emotional response. Okay, I'm playing the guild. How do I want to feel? But Rakdos is one of the few guilds that its sort of mechanical identity is shaped around its emotional resonance in the game choices it makes. You know what I'm saying? It is not doing the same thing every time. If you look at its mechanics, at Hellbent, Unleash, and Spectacle, they play together well. They have a similar sort of mindset to them, but they're not the same thing. Hellbent says, I want to play spells out of my hand. Unleashed says, you know, I want to commit to aggression. And Spectacle says, I kind of want to get in there and do damage. Now, those aren't isolated things. They click together. They actually play well together by design. But they are making you do slightly different things. And the combination of all of them is a very delicious sense of, like, one of the fun things about playing Rakdos should be, you, the player playing it, should be having fun. For example, it's not that you can't have fun playing any guild, but for example, the Azorius is a lot more serious. That when you're playing Azorius, we kind of want you to be more quiet and harder to read. That part of Azorius is that, you know, Azorius is very much, I know what's going on, but no one else does it. I don't want to reveal anything. And so the Azorius play style, which tends to be more slow and controlling, plays into that mental mindset that you want for the Azorius. But that is a little less openly fun, if you will. There's people who love control and like Azorius, and they have fun playing it. I'm not talking about enjoying it. What I mean is that there's an attitude that when you play Rakdos, that it encourages you to be a little more out there, a little bit in your face. You kind of want to trash talk. You know, it's definitely a guild where it encourages you to be a little more bold in your choices and have fun with it. And that's one of the things that, like I said, I really enjoy that when we can do with the guilds correctly is I want you, in the act of playing the guild, of making mechanical choices, feel the way the guild feels. And while Rakdos has definitely been all over the map as far as, you know, it's probably the guild or one of the guilds that's had the most stretch on the kinds of mechanics we've made, the one thing that I do like that unifies them is the general sense of how you play and what you're doing is a fun, you know, like when I play Rakdos, I like one of the things I want you to do, the player, I do, is I want you to get in the mindset of the guild when you're playing the guild. And I want you to sort of say, like, there's a little bit of role-playing that can go in there that I think is kind of fun. That you know when you're playing Rakdos, that the cards all sort of hint at, and the flavor text, and the names, and the art, all hint at the nature, the showmanship of the Rakdos. And on some level, when you play, you are putting on a show, and that you are kind of encouraged as a player to really get into it and have fun, and play on the fact that you know things your opponent doesn't know, you know what I'm saying? And I really enjoyed that. I think Rakdos is a lot of fun to play, especially if you're more inclined to have that sort of play. So anyway, I'm driving up to work right now. So I hope, like, one of the things I want you to get when I'm doing these different guild podcasts is that each guild has its own challenge. You know, no guild is easy. I mean, each guild has elements that are easier and harder. And the true challenge of the Rakdos guild is that it is the guild most sort of held together by attitude. And that is very tricky when designing. It's fun, it's cool, when it works out, it's a neat thing. But it's a lot easier to say, oh, well, I know it revolves around this mechanical thing. At least I know where I'm looking. Rakdos makes you look a little wider and harder to find its mechanics. And, you know, I mean, obviously I enjoy the challenge of doing this. That's why I'm a designer. But it's a different kind of challenge. And part of me doing the podcast is making you understand, you know, what exactly those challenges are. But anyway, I am now at work. So we all know what that means. It means it's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you guys all next time. Bye-bye.